All right. Hello and welcome to another Expert Insight interview. My name is John Golden from Sales Pop, online sales magazine, and Pipeliner CRM. Joining you as usual from San Diego, and today I'm joined by Rich Milliman, who is in Shelton, Connecticut, and Rich is the CEO of Extra Duty Solutions. So Rich, a lot of people know that selling into the public sector, what we're going to talk about today, is very different. And you know, a lot of companies actually avoid the public sector because of it, because they don't really know how to sell into it. So why is it so different?
Well, I think there's a few reasons for it. One reason is there's a lot more checks and balances, oversight from different organizations in the public sector. We sell into law enforcement, which means we're selling to municipalities, we're selling to cities, we're selling to states, counties. And there tends to be a lot more external checks and balances that need to be followed relative to corporate or private sector selling. And as a result, that tends to, there's rules and regulations that everybody has to follow, and that's all there is to it. And it tends to slow things down a little bit. Another factor in that world is, like for us, we're selling into a police department, but that means we also need to get the business administrator, potentially the mayor, chief financial officer, who work in other areas of the municipality on board. And, you know, everything from syncing up schedules for meetings and conference calls to getting to the top of the pile can take weeks, months, or even years in some case. Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot to unpack there. So from a sales point of view, number one, there's a lot of knowledge needed, is it, to keep up with the regulations, to know where the red tape is, to know how all the schedules you need to be on, etc. I mean, how does that work? I mean, do you have to continually do research, continually be updated on any changes?
Yeah, it's mostly from the standpoint of being aware of what's going of who's looking for what product. In some cases, it's similar. You know, there are conferences where you can reach out and talk to people you're trying to sell to. But in a lot of cases, once that entity is interested in buying your service, that's when the regulations come in. So they might have to do a request for a proposal, an RFP. Mm-hmm. So you need to be constantly up to date on who's issuing what RFPs, and you have to, typically you subscribe to one or more services that will show you that. And you have to be aware of what communication can fall under Freedom of Information Request Acts, and what's OPRA-able and what's not, and so on. So yeah, you do have to kind of keep up on this, on the ever-changing landscape.
And it seems also from what you said that you're selling to so many different constituencies sometimes that obviously it takes some skill to be able to communicate to in different ways to different constituencies according to what their needs are and how they want to be communicated with.
Yeah, it's not just the communication, but understanding what's their agenda. I mean, what are they looking for? What are they trying to protect against? And making sure that you're preparing your pitch to meet the right needs. The way I would talk to a police chief and the way I talk to a CFO are two different things. Mm-hmm. And then if they're both in the room at the same time, you need to be aware of how you're going to interact so you don't lose one.
Yeah. And I guess as a part of that too is, I mean, obviously sometimes the needs, the business needs of these different people can be quite different, right? And almost in conflict sometimes.
I was going to say the same thing, almost in conflict at sometimes where, it's the police side may really want something, whereas the financial side may have an issue with it, or the risk side or the HR side. Even within a police department, you may have the command staff wanting something and the union wanting something else. So there's a lot of different, it's quite different than if you're selling into the head of, to the head of HR in a corporation. Mm-hmm. It's usually a fairly siloed sale. This tends to be very, very messy and far reaching.
Yeah. And the other thing you mentioned there, that it can be quite a long drawn out process. So, I mean, I guess at times you have to have a lot of patience in order to just see the process through.
Yeah, we have a couple that have been going on 2 years now. And you know, something comes up and it gets back burnered, then it gets front burnered, and that's common. And one of the issues with that is, in a 2 year period, you're going to have people changing jobs. You could go halfway down the path for a year with a particular business administrator of a municipality, and all of a sudden he leaves and goes to another town, and you're starting over again. So, yeah, that's all part of your sales costs.
So, I mean, given all of this, some people who are listening might say, why would you ever even want to sell into the public sector, given all of this? But tell me why selling into the public sector is actually a great place to be.
Well, for us, we provide a service to the public sector. So it's not like our service is of value to the private sector. Sure. But there's a lot of rewards, too. I mean, typically, once you're in, you're in. You know, so our retention rate is extraordinarily high. There tends to be... what you're selling tends to be pretty highly specific, and so there may be less people selling it. And it is a relationship sale. There is this red tape around it and bureaucracy and so on. But at its foundation, there is a relationship sale. So by the time you get to the end of that sales process, it's not like you're starting from scratch. You're now serving the people you just went through that process with, and it makes it a lot easier to ramp up and onboard.
Yeah, and I guess one of the other things is you're pretty much always guaranteed to get paid, right?
Yeah, I mean, the way we serve the municipalities, we are providing a managed service to law enforcement. Mm-hmm. Our invoices are actually going to the customers of law enforcement, so private entities that are hiring hiring officers. So we still have some level of bad debts, but for the most part, people are not looking to stiff law enforcement. You're going to not pay some other bill first, you know?
Yeah, it's probably not the best move to stiff law enforcement. Yeah, there's probably other people, if you're so inclined, that you'd probably...
Exactly.
So when you if somebody was interested in becoming a salesperson in an organization like yours and selling into this sector, what kind of characteristics and traits do you need?
You really need somebody with tenacity is really what we look for first, because as we mentioned, it's a long sales process, and there's a lot of nooks and crannies in it. It can go a lot of different ways. So you need somebody who's not going to quit. Who's not going to say, I'm going to look for an easy sale. This is a hard sale. They're all going to be hard sales. It's just a different level of hardness and type of hardness. So you need somebody who understands you got to build a pipeline, and yeah, you're going to have rolling successes, but it's going to be 3 to 12, even 24 months afterwards that you start getting your successes. So you can't have somebody who is easily discouraged. If somebody needs instant gratification, your first sale has to be within 2 weeks. This is not where you want to be.
Yeah. So how do you keep, how do your salespeople like and keep themselves motivated during the ebb and flow of these sales processes?
Well, first of all, some of these contracts are very, very big, right? And they tend to be long-term contracts. In our case, they just keep rolling over. It's kind of, I liken it to kind of like selling mega yachts. Like, yeah, you probably don't sell that many, but each one costs $30 million, you know? So, it's really just more the first year or so where the person has to just understand and be constantly coached that you will not have many successes this first year. We're going to carry you. We're going to help you out. And by the second year, they realize what the sales process is like, and they start seeing some of the benefits of the first year efforts turning into actual sales. And from there, they tend to be okay. But you really need to hold hands that first year with somebody in this market, especially if they're coming from the private and then entering the public sector, because they're probably going to have more of an attitude of, you know, what I did last month, I'll benefit from this month. And in our world, it's more what you did last year, you'll benefit from this year.
Yeah. So what are, as maybe somebody in their, looking at somebody in their first year, what are the things that you look for throughout the year to say, yeah, this person is going to really work out and be great?
Right. You know, one is just the lack of this, don't get discouraged when you think you're about to make the sale, and then you find out you have to go to another meeting because there's another constituency within there that has to, so you, you have to just keep going on it. The second is the ability to realize that this is a complex sale, and it's not just taking one person out to dinner. And you know, you can't take these people out to dinner. There's rules against that. So it's realizing that you're going to have to sort of keep track of all the parties involved, what their needs are, what their wants are. It's not following up with one person typically. It's following up with different people who have different needs that all fall under the umbrella of one sale. So we look for people who are, in addition to being tenacious, are pretty organized around that and have the ability to shift gears as they need to, depending on who they're talking to in a particular sales process.
Yeah, and it seems to me that one of the, from what you're saying there, one of the big skills is, if you like, being able to map out the what we call in our CRM the buying center, where you have all the different people who are involved and influence at different points, and we have it where you can lay it out visually. But I think that obviously sounds like one of the most important things, to be able to identify all the constituencies and what their role is and who they influence, who they're connected to, all of those things. So somebody who can look at things in a, as I said, more in a political map sense.
Right. I think the way you just said it is exactly right. In a political map sense, because it's very, very rare that we walk in and everybody in that municipality that we're going to have to touch is on the same page and in agreement that we want to go forward with this particular service. Typically, you have to figure out who is in favor and who's not in favor, and then go from there. So every sales process is unique and different, and you have to be okay with that. It's almost more like consultative sales as opposed to any other type of sales that I've been familiar with.
Yeah, and I guess that's and you're probably in that situation, yeah, as we said earlier, because you might have conflicting agendas there. I mean, being able to figure out who is a naysayer or somebody against it is just as important as trying to figure out who are the people who are in favor.
Yeah, and that's not going to be easy. It's not going to be typically. I mean, it isn't always not the case, but typically the naysayer is not going to say, "Hey, I'm the naysayer." Right? Yeah, I mean, they're going to try and torpedo from the background. They're going to be nice to you in your face, and then, you know, afterwards they go to the mayor or they go to a council member and say, "This is a horrible idea," without telling you. So you have to have a bit of a sixth sense for that too, and make sure that you've got multiple people involved so somebody can't go around the side and torpedo it.
And so how has that changed during this period? Because as you said, it's very relational. Maybe you haven't been able to get in front of people in the way that you were before. So how have you managed to do this and still be able to do what you're saying, like have a sixth sense, be able to figure out where people are without actually probably being able to meet them in person?
Yeah, no, a lot of our sales have gone more towards the video or phone calls as opposed to in person. And it makes it tougher. It's a lot easier to figure out somebody's interest level when you're sitting right in front of them and you can read their body language than when they're on a, you know, a phone or even a video conference. So it's just gotten tougher. And also with the COVID, a lot of things just get pushed back. Like, you know, yeah, we're interested in talking to you, but let's just wait till we can meet. So we now have, you know, a bigger pipeline than we normally do. We're probably 10% less in actual sales than we normally do for this time of the year too. So again, you have to be patient with this. You have to kind of roll with the punches and not get discouraged over it.
Yeah. And what made you go into this area in the first place?
Well, we saw a need. I have a partner in business, and I was in risk. He was in security. We were in the same firm. We would occasionally interact with law enforcement for a variety of reasons. So we became familiar with this notion of extra duty and just saw a need that this is a kind of a messy market. There's not a smooth and good and accepted way, a normal way of attaining and paying for and scheduling the officers and so on. So, and you know, somewhat out of our frustration too, he more so than I would occasionally hire extra duty officers.
Right.
See the pain and suffering firsthand. So, you know, as I say, discontent is the mother of, and that's what really brought us to, like, we thought there's got to be a better way. And, you know, we started with doing things in a slightly better way and then incrementalized our way to doing things in a much better way for municipalities that has been more broadly accepted now.
And I think that's a great point for people to take away, especially, you know, entrepreneurs, that sometimes is that you don't have to come up with the big idea that changes everything immediately. As you just said, like the incremental improvement, sometimes, you know, that's enough to start out with, because let's face it, any kind when there's a big pain point, any kind of improvement is welcome.
Yeah, and even within an individual sale, that's typically, mm-hmm. you know, for smaller agencies, it's fairly black and white. Here's what we do, and you know, we understand how you do, how you administer your program, we'll administer it that way. But a lot of times for larger agencies that we go into, even the sale itself is incrementalized. Well, we'll come in and we'll say, here is generally what we do. We can do it in a bunch of highly customized ways. Tell us what you do and what your needs are. And from there, we incrementalize to a solution that fits them. And then even after we start serving them, a lot of times the first 3 to 6 months or so, we're making changes in what we do because they didn't realize that, wow, we're doing it this way, but there's a better way to do it. So I agree with you. I think incrementalizing a solution to the best place is typically better than dropping a bomb, because when you drop the bomb, you're hoping that you hit the target. Mm-hmm. Whereas when you're incrementalizing there, you have a much better probability of getting there, even though it might take a little bit longer.
Yeah. And to your point earlier, you're more likely to build that long-term relationship because you're working closely with the people that you're serving, and you're almost like iterating together as you go, which then
right. like I said, like together. Consultative sale where you're helping mm-hmm. them as you go. And then there's a trust building element to that where you're going to have to build some trust before they start, you know, freely taking the advice. But once that happens, then, you know, you have a very deep relationship with that entity, and it would be hard to shake you off of it.
Yeah, you know, and I think that's a great point to make. And I think obviously, as you were saying earlier, then if that's the kind of selling that you enjoy and you've got the patience for it and you're willing to learn this, and as you say, it sounds like this is a great area to be in because of the long-term relationships you can build.
Yeah, well, I think we have a 98-99% retention rate. Right. We have relationships with all of these departments and municipalities, with CFOs, with mayors and so on. So it is worth the investment, but it's an investment.
Yeah. And to your point, I mean, that's fantastic to think that you've got it like a 98 or whatever it is retention rate, considering that a lot of your constituents move out, change, like mayors come and go, yep. police chiefs come and go.
Yeah, and that's usually exactly what happens. When we're at risk is when there are changes like mm-hmm. that, because you might have a new, say, sheriff or police chief come in and say, well, I don't want to manage service for anything. I want to do everything by myself. And it's nothing, yeah. no bad thing that you did, no mistake, sure. but it's just a different attitude. So that's where there's a bit of a risk where there's those touch points. But even there's, you know, very rarely does that happen. Usually one guy goes to the next and we're still there.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Listen, Rich, this has been awesome. Before we go, all of Rich's information will be in his contributor bio, but please do tell people a little bit more about yourself and about Extra Duty Solutions.
Yeah, so Extra Duty Solutions, as we alluded to in our talk here, we administer what are called extra duty or off duty or secondary employment programs for law enforcement. An extra duty program is when law enforcement agents, police officers, deputies work in their off hours for a private concern. So if you go to a movie theater on Saturday night, you see a uniformed officer there or in a cruiser out front, that officer typically is not on duty at that time. He's being paid by the movie theater chain to be there, and he can go into on duty at any time he needs to, but he's stationed there and being paid by that entity. So those programs cause a large administrative burden for law enforcement agencies. You're taking calls from all these different customers who are interested in hiring the officers. You have to schedule the officers. You have to pay the officers. You have to invoice. You have to collect. You're basically running a security firm within a law enforcement agency. So we take away all the administrative and financial burden, and we administer it under the rules and as an agent of the agency. And we charge a small administrative fee to the customer, so it doesn't cost the agency anything either. So that's in a nutshell sort of what we do, and we're I think the largest and the fastest growing company that does this in the law enforcement agency world.
Yeah, no, it's a fascinating business and a great example of spotting a need and bringing a solution there. So I think that should give encouragement to anybody out there that if you look hard enough, you can find somewhere where there's a pain point that you can meet. And as we said earlier, and I think that's another great takeaway for anybody listening or watching, is don't try and come out with the mega solution immediately. Just come out, you know, figure out how to do it a little better than it is today.
Yeah, when we started, you know, our first client was almost 5 years ago, and how we serve that client and how we serve clients that we onboarded this mm-hmm. month are two different things. You know, now the first client, you know, they're being served the same way that the onboarded clients this month are being served, with all the technology we have and all the wherewithal. But we move them along to that point as opposed to starting with them at that point, because we didn't know what good looks like. We were creating a new industry, you know?
Yeah, no, this has been really fascinating. Again, thanks, Rich. My name is John Golden from Sales Pop Online, Sales Magazine, Pipeliner, CRM. See you all for another expert interview really soon. Thank you.
Thank you.